Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
Father, thank you for your word and the spirit that administrates it. Lord, our hearts are good soil. It's with the heart man believes. So Holy Spirit, go deep within our heart this morning, beyond our mind, into our heart. Lord, we are yours. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We're going to continue our series this morning on Integrity Matters. So let's take our Bibles. There's a Bible in front of you if you need one. Or if you have an app on your phone, you can use it. Let's hold them up and let's say this together. This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. So I purpose each day to be sourced by His written and living word, to understand who I am in Him, to be equipped in His truth, and to connect intentionally with others. Boy, that's all part of our growth right there in our development. So we're continuing the series on Integrity Matters. This is our fourth week in purposing to allow the Lord to develop us in integrity. Everybody say integrity. That's the quality or state of being one. It means we're complete or whole. How about this? Undivided. Literally not two-faced. We're not two different people. We're not one way on Sunday and some other way some other day. And our prayer has been, Lord, may our attitude and our actions never betray who you say we are. May our attitude and actions never betray who we say that we are. So let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I told you I didn't give up on New King James. Here it is, right here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Boy, I want some of that. Grace and peace multiplied unto you. And you say, well, I didn't know I could get more grace. Yeah, James 4, God gives more grace. He opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So if you want to operate in more grace, you want to have it multiplied to you with the peace of God, then simply humble yourself. And then He says, as His divine power has given to us all things. Everybody say all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. I've got a great chart for you. We'll get to it in this series of in Adam, we had nothing. In Christ, we have everything. In Adam, I knew nothing. In Christ, I know all things. 1 John. In Adam, I can do nothing. In Christ, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So we'll get to that. But it says we have all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we've been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Well, I love that. We've let the divine nature in. We're learning to let Him out. We've let Him in. He transforms us. Now we participate and allow Him out, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, and then continuing on for this very reason, with all diligence, add to your faith. So we don't want to be those that just say, yeah, we believe in Jesus. He's a great guy. And well, even the demons believe. So let's don't just rest on our laurels. What He's saying is, with all diligence, we're going to add to our faith. We're going to grow. We're going to develop. So add to your faith virtue. We're going to add to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, we'll add self-control. To self-control, perseverance and patience. And then to that, godliness. To godliness, we're going to add brotherly kindness. And then from brotherly kindness, we will mature to love. The highest form of maturity that you can walk in is the love of God, the agape love of God. For if these things are yours and they abound in you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to add to our faith these seven pillars of integrity or character development Because God values fruit over deeds. I'm going to say it again. God values fruit over deeds. I want you to notice the emphasis here on fruitfulness. This is God's desire for you and me, fruitfulness over deeds. He didn't say, let's add to our faith church attending. We're going to attend church. We'll add that to our faith. We'll give some money. We'll go witnessing. We'll even add 5 minutes to our prayer time. He didn't list one deed, not one thing, because he cares way more about the heart you do things with than what you do. God cares about fruit. Okay, now let me expand this. And let me say this. Why not witnessing and Bible reading and all that? Because you can do that with a really wrong motive. You got people today, maybe within Oklahoma, that went to church today so God would love them. Well, going to church is a good thing. I'm a good churchgoer. That looks good. Man looks on the outer, God looks on the heart. Okay? So just because people are going to church, we don't know really what their motive is. For all we know, they think it makes them more righteous. Well, that's an insult to Jesus. Jesus got you righteous. You don't need to add church attendance to be righteous. Yeah, amen. Galatians chapter 5, listen to me. Everybody's familiar with the last portion of chapter 5 when he says that the deeds of the flesh are evident. He calls them deeds. But then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Okay? The works of the flesh, blah, 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 adultery, fornication, etc. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And the Lord said, Steve, the flesh and religion will always overemphasize works. The flesh will always clamor to deeds. But what I'm interested in is fruit. The fruit that's born out of the Spirit's work in your heart, the Spirit shed abroad, the love of God in our heart, that's what he's interested in, is fruit. The attitude, the position of our heart. And so what the Lord is after is our mindset in regard to deeds versus fruit this morning. In John chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said, by this the Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. By this, the Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. You've even heard me say the fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gifts of the Spirit. And matter of fact, the gifts of the Spirit ought to flow out of the fruit of the Spirit. I can promise you, Jesus walked in the love of God daily, and then out of love for God and love for people, out of that, the gifts flowed. And we saw miraculous healings and all kinds of things happen. But 2 Peter 1 clearly is stating here, God's plan for you and for me is fruitfulness, not just deeds. Do you know you can build, let's take a guy, he spent his life and he built 30 hospitals. Outwardly, that seems great. He built 30 hospitals. Did he do it because he loves children and he loves the hurting and he wanted to help eradicate sickness in the earth? Or did he do it because for every hospital he built, he made $2 million? Okay, man, all we can do is look at the heart, at the outward appearance and look at 30 hospitals. But what is his primary interest? Why did you build the hospitals? It wasn't the fruit of my Spirit working in your heart. Paul said, be careful how you build in Corinthians. He didn't say what you build or how many. He said, be careful how you build. Listen, your legacy with God is fruit that remains. Your legacy with God is fruit that remains. Fruit is eternal. Buildings are temporary. Let's say you're utilized by the Lord in the gift of healing and you've seen many people physically healed. Can I get a witness that every physical healing is temporary? Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but did he eventually die? Yes, he did. So even physical healing or the gifts of miracles that the Lord uses through your life, all that is temporary, but the heart and reason you prayed for them, your heart for those people, the love of God in your heart towards them, that is eternal. Even if the Lord asked us to build 10 more churches, 10 more grace churches to fill Oklahoma, every one of those churches will burn up. Every one of them. Not one of those church buildings is eternal. But the love and the Spirit of Jesus within those houses, that will last forever. And that is what He's interested in. Go ahead and give Him praise this morning. That's what He's interested in. The Spirit of this house. So we're adding to our faith these seven pillars of integrity. And it's great that we get converted. How many of you know it's good we get saved? That's a good thing. But we must make disciples. We must teach people to observe all the Lord has commanded. And as I remember from last week, the primary and first command is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Okay, so people get converted, they get saved, that's great, but we need to disciple them and let them know that Christ desires to be formed within you. Fruit, attitudes, dispositions, your posture in life, He wants to work on that within you. That He really desires fruitfulness in and through you, because you can be really anointed and you can be really gifted and you can be really talented and you can really destroy your family. And you can really destroy your church. And you can really destroy your business if you don't have love and integrity in what you're doing. Amen. The Pharisees majored in works because the flesh loves the outward appearance. The flesh will gravitate towards deeds, and the Pharisees, religious people of Jesus' day, they majored in works. They had 613 rules of what we can do and what we can't do. And yet, you know what Jesus said of them? And it wasn't a compliment. He said, but inside, you're full of dead men's bones. There's nothing but death inside of you. And these guys, can I get a witness? According to works and what we're supposed to do and not do, I mean, they're light years ahead of us. They weren't watching TV, I guarantee you that. So according to the flesh, they weren't surfing the web either and being tempted with things they shouldn't look at on the web or whatever. So according to the law, I mean, they're just rigid. But He said of them, inside you're full of dead men's bones. He even said in Matthew 15, in vain do you worship Me because you honor Me with your lips, but your heart is far from Me. And He went on to say, guys, it's not what goes into the mouth of a man that defiles him. It's what comes out. So out of an abundance of the mouth speaks. So it's the heart that defiles a man. My goodness. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't want us doing just a bunch of religious things, but never reflecting His character or the fruit of the Spirit that's at work within us in the process. And that's why we have to always remember the central and greatest miracle of Jesus Christ is His character. The greatest miracle about Jesus is His integrity. Yes, He raised Lazarus from the dead. Yes, He fed 5,000 people from one boy's lunch. Yes, He healed lepers, listen, by touching them. Those are outstanding miracles. But the greatest miracle of Jesus Christ is His integrity and His character. And it would be more of a shock when I look at a person with that much wholeness, that much purity of motive, that much love and compassion for humanity. It'd be more of a shock if He didn't do miracles because of the purity of His own heart. Why is He developing us in integrity? I believe there's great things on the horizon. I think some of you will pastor churches. I think some of you will be evangelists. I think some of you will go forth and do great things, but He's going to challenge you right here. The heart with which you do it is what I care about. because I don't want you running out in your gift and your gift taking you somewhere that you don't have the character to stay there. Amen, somebody. It is the heart, it is the fruit, the inner workings of the Spirit that the Lord is calling our attention to. So let's get to the reasons now that integrity matters, because the series is called Integrity Matters, and it only took us to the fourth week to get here, but here we are. Number one, why does integrity matter? Because who you're becoming is more important than what you do. When we started Grace Church, and there's just like 11 adults and two kids in a living room, one of the things innocently, sometimes you can do the right thing and not even know you're doing the right thing. Amen? I mean, sometimes you can do the wrong thing and think you're doing the right thing. But in this case, we were doing some right things and didn't even know we were doing the right thing. One of them was we would pray all the time, Lord, make it big, make it little, but make it yours. We didn't care what it looked like outwardly. We didn't care if it was 500 or 50 or 5,000. We just wanted Jesus' heart to be represented. Integrity matters because who you're becoming is more important than what you do. And that still holds true today. 21 years later, he is more interested in who we're becoming and Christ being formed in us as human beings. Doesn't it say in Romans 8:29, we're all predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son? I don't think it said we're all predestined to go do this work, this one, that one. He didn't list all those out. He cares about the attitude and posture and disposition of our heart. God loves to look at his kids and see himself. Come on, somebody. The fruit of our union is what he's looking at. Your motive and manner of life is more important than your mission in life. Do you realize what he's doing with you inwardly right now is more important to him than what's going on outside of you? It's true. The work he's doing inwardly in you is more important to him than what happens outside of you. Let's go to Judges chapter 13, verse 12. See, manner of life, your manner of life is hidden. Integrity is hidden. You can't really see that. But your mission in life, people can see. And because it's external, they're likely to applaud that. They'll applaud that you go witnessing all the time. They'll applaud that you pray five times a day. They'll applaud what you're doing outwardly. But what does God really care about? The hidden man of the heart. I believe he picked a king based on that, if I recall. Man looks on the outward, but King David had the right heart for the job. Come on, amen. Judges 13:12. This is English Standard Version. So what's happening here is this is a Samson's parents, Samson, the guy with the Goldilocks, you know, super strong. Yeah. So the angel of the Lord appeared to his mom and said, you're going to have a son. And then the dad said, hey, if he comes back, could you tell him I'd like to visit with him? And it literally happened. The angel did come back. And so Manoah got to talk to the angel. And he was telling about Samson's going to be born. And Manoah said this is a good dad. Look what he did. Now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life? And then what is to be his mission? In other words, his attitude, his disposition, and his demeanor is the first priority. Will he love God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength? Mission is number two, people. Mission is number two. The New King James says it this way. What will be his rule of life? What values will govern him? That's what he's asking. What will he be like inside? And then he says in New King James, what will be his rule of life? And then what will be his work? Because what his work is secondary to who he is. Come on, give him praise in the house of God. That is so good. That's a good father right there. How should he live versus what will he do? The best thing you can do for your children is impart unto them and speak to them that their heart and manner of life is more important than what they do, than what they achieve. My son Caleb is 21, and I'm sure many of you can relate to this, but they feel pressure on what am I supposed to do and how am I going to make an impact and where am I going and all that kind of stuff. And Stacy and I had just told Caleb one day, we just said, hey, we're proud of you. And he said, really? He did. Because he's got that pressure. He's not arrived yet. He's not in his career flow yet. He's not a college graduate yet. You know, he's still laying all that out. And he said, really? I said, Caleb, yes, you're becoming a fine human being. You're growing in your attitude and your disposition in life. And that matters way more than what you accomplish.
Amen.
Amen. That's the legacy. What's our legacy before God? Fruitfulness. And the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. These unseen character qualities that look like Him. That's more important than what we accomplish. My goodness. Come on, Holy Ghost. I'm feeling this thing. So the why and the how is more important than the what. I'm preaching this morning. But why I preach is more important to the Lord than the fact I'm preaching. Absolutely. Am I preaching because I'm insecure and you all encouraging me helps me feel better about myself, or somehow I'm going to get stars in my crown because I'm up here, you know, preaching God's word or whatever. I'm going to get great rewards, which would still be all about me. Or am I just simply sharing with you God's heart for you? That's what He cares about. What is your motive more than what is your mission? Don't get me wrong. I want to do good works. I want you all to do good works. We can go after good deeds. Doesn't the scripture say be excellent at what is good? So I'm for good works, but the Lord wants your heart and motive to be one with Him while you're doing them. That matters more. Because we can sit around and say, man, that guy, he witnesses to 30 people a day. 30 people a day. He's out witnessing. He's amazing. Or the guy with the bullhorn down in Bricktown scaring everybody. People would look at that, man, he's a street preacher. He's an evangelist. That's amazing. But if those people are witnessing and doing all that so God will love them more, so that God will think they're righteous because they're doing righteous deeds, you see how the flesh gravitates towards works. There's only one place you can go with works. You're either going to wind up, and that's where the flesh is, its focus is, you're either going to be self-righteous, like I'm amazing because I witness to 30 people every day, or self-loathing. I can never measure up. I can never seem to get it right. The emphasis of the flesh will always be deeds, but the emphasis of your Father is fruit. Fruit. It's no coincidence that every one of the 8 manifestations of love listed in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it manifests in joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all that. All 8 of those manifestations are listed in 1 Corinthians 13. 2 Peter 1, John 15, 1 Corinthians 13, Galatians chapter 5. None of those have to do with you going and doing anything. They all have to do with character traits of God. Fruit of His Spirit working in us. So I'm okay with going and doing good deeds. Let's just make sure our motive is right. And let me help you in the practical realm. I wrote some questions down. Do you know, are they over here? Honey? Yes, praise the Lord. If you want to write these down, you can have them, because every time we assemble, I want you to not only hear the Lord's heart for you, I want you to be able to apply it. Amen. I mean, you can say amen to the truth all day long, but I think His interest is that we walk it out. So you can ask the Lord, what would you have me to incorporate into my daily routine that will help emphasize my manner and my motive more than my mission? Lord, what would you like to incorporate in me daily that would bring to my attention, what's the motive I'm doing this with? Or if you've got a task in front of you, an assignment, you know, in front of you, ask the Lord, Lord, would you search me and my motive? Did you know that's biblical? So how about this? It's Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, know my heart. We just give Him permission. Search my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in your way, the everlasting way, the way that lasts, the way that remains. Isn't that good? We can just ask him, what do you desire my manner and my motive to be in this? And here's a great one. If you want to know whether your motive was any good, maybe the Lord asked you to do something for your husband or your children or something. And you want to ask, okay, Lord, what's my motive in this? What's my manner, the manner and condition of my heart in this? You can know whether it was off or not, because if you get mad, if you flesh out when it didn't go the way you thought it was going to, well, it's really about you and not about them. Or if you went out witnessing in the park and the guy threw his snow cone in your face and you're all mad, you go back, I can't believe somebody treat me like that. I am somebody. I tell you. Or do you cry for him? Because he's rejected Jesus Christ. He's lost. But you're worried about you. Manner, attitude, motive, that's what your father is interested in. How about this one? This is a really good one. Let's say you go to war. And then when everybody comes back from war, they sing a song about the other guy, not about you. Somebody named King Saul. Oh my goodness. He wanted to kill David. Because they came back and said, Saul's killed his, you know, thousands or whatever, but David's killed his tens of thousands. They're just singing about, I think it revealed something in Saul. So why don't we ask ourselves, Lord, would you search my heart? I want to walk in integrity. I want to be one person at all times. And I give you permission to search my heart. And how about this? I love this one. If you do find that you're getting spun up about something, here's your next question. Lord, what am I not believing about you in this situation? For me to be so jealous of that other person getting, you know, accolades, what am I not believing about you? Maybe that he would say, why is your source of honor and esteem that crowd of people that's honoring him? Why am I not good? Is my honor not good enough? So when we get bent out of shape, we're typically looking for something from somebody that we can only get from him. Man, this is good, right? This is good. What am I not believing about you, Lord, if I don't act with integrity? If you're taking money off the top of the business books, just a little bit of them, if you're just taking money, what are you not believing about God? That he'll provide for you. You're just going to take this into your own hands. You're going to steal. Or you're supposed to be honest about something you did wrong, but you don't want to be honest because you're afraid of the repercussions. Well, now you're not trusting that he'll protect you. All right, I'll move on. All right. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, New King James. Look at this, guys. Paul writes, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I have not love, I am annoying. I am a sounding brass. I am a clanging cymbal. How about if I just did this the rest of service? Ding, 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 ding. You know, I mean, we'd be so annoyed. That's what he's saying. You ever met somebody super hyper spiritual and they don't have an ounce of love in their heart? Then he says, though I have the gift of prophecy. Oh, we'll run to the meetings for the gift of prophecy. We gotta have the gift of prophecy. This guy's amazing. How about this? Understand all mysteries, all knowledge. Could you imagine having all knowledge? Nothing's a mystery to you. Somebody asks Karen, they come to you and they say, I want to know about this, horseshoes. And you're like, bing. And they say, drag racing. And you say, bing. There's nothing a mystery to you. You know you're literally a know-it-all. But he says, you can have all of that. If you don't have love, it's nothing. My goodness. You can understand all mysteries, all knowledge. Look at this. I can have faith to remove mountains. I go to Pike's Peak and I say, be cast into the sea. And there it goes. And Paul says, yeah, that was a great work. But God is more interested in fruit than in deeds. And that doesn't look like his spirit. See, we got confused. We thought the fruit was the deeds. No, it's not. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit working in your heart. My goodness, hell, you think the religious spirit hadn't pulled one over on us? I mean, for years we're chasing all these good deeds and doing this and doing that, and really what he cares about is what's the motive of your heart? What's the manner in which, the manner of your heart in which you do what you do? Then he says, I can have faith to move mountains, but have not love. I'm nothing. How about this? I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. I mean, we could liquidate all my assets today and it wouldn't take long, I'm telling you. We could liquidate all of Grace Church assets and we give it all to the poor. We'd probably make the newspaper, I guarantee you that. We give it all to the poor and the world would be like, man, they're amazing. Well, what if our heart wasn't right? That's what God's looking at. You can give your life, your possessions away. If you have not love, it's nothing. And then that's the last one. I give my body as a burnt sacrifice. I'm a hero. I gave my life away. But if you have not love, it profits nothing. My goodness. And it keeps going. Look at this. Now here we get into, you're going to see all the fruit of the Spirit right here. The fruit of love. Love suffers long. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't parade itself around. Love is not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. Love never demands its own way. I love that one. Love is not provoked. It thinks no evil of others. Oh my goodness. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. This love bears all things, believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. None of those have to do with something you do. It's all the condition of your heart. This is the new covenant, people. This is it. Why do you think Jesus would say in Matthew 5, you'd heard it was said you should not commit adultery, but if you're lusting about that woman in your heart, you're committing adultery. Why? Because the transgression is your heart. And then he said, I know you feel justified because you didn't murder that guy, but you hate him. You're guilty of murder, he said, because your heart. This is the love of God. This is fruit. This is what he cares about more than anything. And I promise you, if we get this right, there's no telling how he could utilize us. But always remember, because we might find success, and success is a test. And maybe we get it right, and then we plant another church, or there's another ministry, or we send out three pastors from here, and we're helping, and there's influence, and the message is spreading and reproducing. You're going to have to continue to renew your mind to integrity, and fruit is what matters. Fruit, the heart with which you do what you do, that matters to him. Yes. Everything else will burn up. It'll all burn up. It's all temporary, but not fruit. It is everlasting. It is fruit that remains. It is fruit that remains. The heart with which we do what we do. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. Dads, listen to me. This love, thank God, is descriptive. The love of God is descriptive because when your boy comes and asks you, how do I know, Dad, when I'm in love? You better not say, I don't know, you'll just know. And I beg you, don't say it's a feeling. Because he's a teenage boy, and that feeling he's got ain't love. I can say it because I was one. Don't you tell him, well, you'll just know, or it'll be a feeling. It'll come all over you, or you'll fall into it. Like you caught a cold. I caught it one day. I fell out of love with her. I fell into love with this one. No, run the other way. Love is described here. This is love. This is love. It's descriptive. And it ain't deeds. Is he patient? Is he kind towards her? Is he not jealous of her? Does he ever demand his own way? This is love. Easily provoked. Love is not easily provoked. Am I helping any parents out there? Amen. If my heart and motive is not right, if I don't have integrity and wholeness and purity of heart, then what I'm doing and saying doesn't amount to anything. And that's what I mean by the new covenant. Integrity is not some outward set of rules we adhere to. Integrity is an inward identity we yield to. Brother Steve, why didn't you give in to that temptation? Because that's not who I am. And you gotta know this. You gotta know these things. If you're counseling people, maybe she's gone through a divorce, she's lonely, she's sad, you're there with the love of God, you're telling her that, you know, how valuable she is in Christ, and you gotta be careful what can come out of that. So you gotta have integrity in your heart that says, I appreciate your interest in me that way, but I can't do that. That's not who I am. And then one step further, let me say, that's not who you are either. That is not the image of God in you. Everybody say, guard your heart, because that's what he cares about. Amen, amen. Paul says here in Corinthians, I am nothing if I don't have the fruit of love. I'm nothing if I don't have the fruit of love. One of the great problems in the body of Christ is we tend to go after what glitters. You know, if it's shiny, we'll pursue and we'll promote power and position and gifting more than we pursue integrity and love. We ought to be promoting integrity and promoting people who walk in the love of God. That's the greatest level of maturity there is walking in the love of God beyond all the gifts. We put a premium on great faith. We put a premium on great sacrifice. We put a premium on great prophetic words. But Paul says, if you don't have love in your heart with any of these, it means nothing. We talked earlier about making disciples. We need to make disciples who can make disciples, who can make disciples, who can make disciples infinitum. But I'm telling you right now, you can make all the disciples in the world. If your heart's not right, he's looking at your heart. He's looking at your motive. Why are you doing what you're doing? The gifts will pass away, church. The gifts are just part of the immaturity of the body of Christ until we all come to the consummation of the kingdom of God. When Jesus is on the scene, we're not gonna need gifts. We're gonna know. Let me show you this. In 1 Corinthians 13, I'm just going to read on starting with verse 8, but gifts are not the measure of maturity that the love of God is. And yet a lot of times we clamor to the gifts, right? We got to go to this conference, man. I mean, there's miracles there, and there's healing there, and there's prophetic words, and these people are incredible, but is the love of God there? Is the love of God there? Because listen, I love the gifts. We love the gifts in this house. Amen. We welcome the gifts of the Spirit. We want them to flow here, but we want the love of God here and to walk in it as well. I'm telling you, the measure of maturity, according to Scripture, is the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13:8, this love we talked about never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will cease. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. And there's been some bad teaching on this, and it's very popular that somehow this is the Bible, that which is perfect is come is the Scripture. I love the Scripture, but when the Scriptures were written and made available to us, knowledge didn't cease, it exploded. Knowledge didn't vanish away. They focus on tongues, but in the same sentence is tongues and, is knowledge. And where's the other one? Prophecy, words of knowledge, all that stuff. When the Scriptures were written, that didn't end. It exploded. We actually started growing in the gifts. We actually started growing in knowledge. We actually had understanding because the Holy Spirit was teaching us through the Scriptures. Amen, somebody. All right, and then let's keep going. When I was a child, he says, I spoke as a child. Wait, did I read all that? Yeah, okay, I did. So that which is perfect is the second coming of Christ and the manifestation of his kingdom on earth. When that day happens, we won't need all the gifts anymore because we will know, even though we know in part now, we won't be looking through a dimly lit glass. I promise you that. Sight will replace faith. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, look at this, I put away childish things. Why have we all seen so many ministers, people called of God, good people, not fulfill what God had for them? They did not develop and mature and put away childish things. Those childish things stuck around long enough to reach up and bite them. You know what I'm saying? Don't make me list them out, okay? But when you've got some immaturities, we need to be inviting the Lord into these vices and saying, Lord, I'm ready to lay these things down. These are childish. I don't need them anymore. I'm not addicted to that anymore. I'm laying that down. So we're going to put away childish things. That's where we're headed. That's maturity. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. So he's not talking about a book there. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm known. And now abide, faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I'm telling you, that's what Jesus operated in. That's the central miracle of Jesus Christ. God elevates fruit over deeds. A friend of mine, Ed Kinchelow, who goes here, told me about a prophet named Bob Jones, said the guy's amazing in the prophetic, Bob Jones, and that he's so accurate, he would come and maybe he'd be the guy that could tell you your address and he'd never met you, tell you your phone number, tell you your name. I mean, just really gifted in words of knowledge in the prophetic. But Bob told Ed that he'd had this dream a while back, and he went to heaven in the dream. And Peter, he thinks it was Peter was there, but they were at the gate, and they were letting people in, but there were two lines going into heaven. And so this prophetic guy, was seeing all this, and as he got closer in the line, he noticed 98% of the people were over here, 2% were in this line. So he started listening to the question that was being asked. They were being separated on one simple question. 98% would answer over here, 2% would answer and then go over there. And he heard the question, and guess what it was? The question was this: did you learn to love while you were there? Did you learn to love? 98% didn't. Now, they still got in, amen. But 2%. I only tell you that story because I think God's emphasis, and he places a premium on the condition of our heart. The motive for which we do everything that we do. Amen, amen, amen. 2 Peter, Galatians 5, John 15. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. 1 Corinthians 13, they have nothing to do with your anointing. They have nothing to do with your gifting. They have nothing to do with your talent. They have nothing to do with position. They have nothing to do with title, because your mission in life is not the premium that your manner of life is. That's what God cares about. They have to do with integrity and character and spirit that you live your life with. I'm going to say it again, because you can be absolutely anointed, absolutely gifted, and absolutely destroy your family and your church and your business. Career choices and resume building is important, but not as important as who you're becoming. That's what we shared with Caleb. Career choices and resume building, that's important, but not as important as who you're becoming. The virtues and values of faithfulness. Listen, kind-heartedness affects every aspect of your life and your family. The atmosphere that you cultivate in your family, the spirit of your home, will have a much longer impactful influence on your family than what you did for a living and how much money you made. I know money can have an influence. I get it. But not as much as the demeanor and posture of your heart towards your family. My goodness. Come on, Holy Ghost. Man. Becoming a man of virtue, becoming a man of godliness, beats simple accomplishment with a stick every time. Becoming a man of virtue in your heart will beat accomplishment with a stick every single time. Americans have learned to value ourselves based on results, based on performance, versus who our creator and manufacturer created us to be. We're made in his image. Everything that looks good on him will look good on you. You're going to like walking in love. You're going to like resting in the peace of God. You're going to gravitate to those things because you're made for them. This is why, you know, I was telling another pastor the other day, I told him, I said, I don't fear evangelism. I never have, once I figured out that every human being on this planet is made by God and for God. And when you invite someone to accept Christ and his love and his forgiveness, you're not inviting them to, quote, become a Christian to some uphill, difficult way. You are inviting them to come home. They're made for Him. They are not made by the world for the world's values. They are made for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forgiveness, all those things. Amen? Amen. We don't fear evangelism. Nobody should fear it. We're just inviting them home is all. So, good results are fine. Go after good results. Be excellent at what is good, but do it with a pure heart. Just don't let the results define you. Even your gifts shape you, but they don't define you. Amen, somebody. Even your gifts, they shape you, but they don't define you. Too often success is measured in terms of money and power. And we all know famous people who were successful at making money, but failed at integrity because they didn't have Christ-like values. Their priorities were lost somewhere along the way. Jeremy, you guys can come. If we don't make our personal development and Christ being formed within us a priority, then we're going to be led by distraction just like the rest of the world. Remember me telling you about the blizzard? Jacob Sheriff had that word that we live in a blizzard. Our culture is a blizzard of information, technology, and distraction. Somebody has got to be tethered to truth and to peace and to what really matters. And I'm telling you, that's what the Lord's asking us to do and to be. Will you be tethered to the truth? Will you anchor yourself in what matters? Your motive, your heart, being whole, being pure in everything that you do. Does that make sense? Somebody has got to be tethered in the midst of the blizzard we are in. If we're not, everybody's going to continue to live by distraction and impulse and routine. We can't have that. It's not healthy. Will you stand with me? You know, I don't mind telling on myself, but I want to tell you how the Lord has shifted me this year, and certainly since July. I had some good values before, and values are just things that live within your heart that you value, and you can prioritize them. Remember when the Lord had, I think I shared this last week, I'm not sure, but July the 2nd, I was in prayer and just spending time with the Lord. He said, put your pen down. You know, it used to be you talk too much, now it's you write too much. So I put the pen down, I opened my hands, I closed my eyes, and He placed this giant timber in my hands. And I thought, yes, Lord, build what You want to build. We're going to change the world. He said, Steve, You're the sacred and peaceful place that I'm building. I'm building You. These timbers, you know what they are? They're pillars. 2 Peter 1. These are just pillars I'm building You with. You're my dwelling place. You're the work I'm interested in right now. And so He gave me this new set of values. Listen to what they are. My values are now that I value prayer and intimacy with Jesus. I value my family relationships. You know, when you get called, if you will, to ministry or full-time ministry or whatever we call this thing I guess I'm involved in, you can lose sight of your family. You can lose sight of how much they matter. And so I just really felt the heart of the Lord, you know, to just reestablish my value of my family relationships. I value being a man of peace. He said, you know, Steve, if you'll rest in my peace will rest on you. So put the pen down. Sit with me. Let me love on you. And then I value being a man of integrity. And I value the message of God's friendship, His grace, His truth, and the kingdom of God. I value that message. And so now it's a priority. That's what I focus on. And I just want you to invite the Lord. Let's go ahead and close our eyes. I want you to invite the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what are the areas of my heart where I can grow? Where can I grow in my motive? Where can I grow in the purity and sincerity of my heart in doing what You've called me to do? Because I never want to get the cart before the horse. I want first things first, just like Manoah when he asked to the angel, well, what will be his manner of life? And then number two, well, what will be his mission? Father, we open our hearts to You. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to You to rest upon us, to speak to us. to encourage us to major on fruit more than on deeds. The deeds will come. But we just thank you for examining our heart, searching our heart this morning, Lord, and then with grace and with power, strengthen us to walk this out.
The crowd I'm standing on.
Thank you, Lord. Just commune with him. Let's take 2 minutes. Just commune with him.
You're more real than.
Just invite him into that place.
When in my love.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.